Thank you very much, Brian. I was just wondering why you thought possibly it was going to rain on Wednesday night. Shall we turn our Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 16. Oh, we better finish this chapter before the Lord comes. Or seem to be taking such a long time to finish this chapter. But I'm very anxious that we do so because I think it's one of the most important chapters in the book of Romans. It's not the most important, but it tells me an awful lot about the Apostle Paul. It tells me a great deal about God's love that's so centered upon His people. And so we're going to look at this morning two people particularly that the Apostle Paul had a great deal of fellowship with. We're going to commence to read at verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become of saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. We want this morning particularly to look at Aquila and Priscilla as we would want to, as we look at this, we trust that we might see something that's very important. I think we have in this portion of the Scripture a very model Christian couple. And I suppose if a young husband and wife were to look into the Scripture with the object of refining a record of lives that would serve them as a pattern to follow in their service for Christ, I suggest to you this morning that they would be very, very wise as we look at this couple to certainly have a look at their lives. As we have suggested already, the major reason that we want to look at this portion is, first of all, that they present to every young couple and also to any people how that Christian hospitality is of vital importance to every believer in Christ. The second thing is, I'd like to have you notice that we should never cease to be grateful to the Lord's people for what they do for us. The Apostle Paul takes these names and he individually gives them real encouragement and real cheer. And I believe here he is most grateful to these people for their service for the Lord. I think as well we have in this portion of the Scripture, if you wish, that we're going to look at Romans 16, but also we're wanting to look at the background of this young couple. And where do they come from? If we were to break in, as it were, to read Romans 16 and look at Priscilla and Aquila, we'd wonder just who they are. And even about Phoebe, we would wonder where she came from. And I think we looked at Phoebe's life some few weeks ago. And so will you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 18, and we have a look as they appear on the scene of Scripture in Acts 18. You see, these folks are mentioned six times in the New Testament. And when people's names are mentioned six times in the New Testament, I can suggest to you that there is a very, very positive lesson that we can learn today.
So in there are three instances the wife's name stands first. And this shows she was by no means less important than her husband. Though the weaker vessel, she contributed her part in the testimony and in the toil and the suffering and devotion and the path of faith that these two people sought to serve the Lord. She was not merely a sympathetic wife of a servant of Christ. She was herself a servant, his servant, as we shall see. You see, these very names are worthy of our definite consideration. Let me just suggest before we read this portion of the Scripture, suggest to you that their names mean something. Always in Scripture, a person's name means something that's very important. Unfortunately, we have gathered names for children in our whole society, and sometimes we really don't really look at the children and wonder what's going to happen to them with that name. When they grow up and they go to school, we give them names sometimes that really, it even could affect them emotionally. But you see, when God gives a name in the Bible, He always has something in view. That name means something. Aquila means eagle. That's what the man's name was, and suggests energy and boldness and the courage that should characterize the man. That's what this word means. Priscilla means old-fashioned. That's interesting, isn't it? It means it should be to remind us really that how sometimes people can rather look old-fashioned, and as a result of that, you would judge them on the basis on which they looked, or they can really act in a contrast to what the present society is in old-fashioned ways. Let me suggest something to you in that way. You see, it's old-fashioned, for example, for a wife to really be in obedience to her husband, and for parents to bring up their children in fear and admonition of the Lord. That's an old-fashioned way in today's society. The Dr. Spock would look at this with real foolishness. But you see, let me tell you this, that this is what makes the home, is to raise the children in the fear and admonition of God. You see, to teach them truthfulness and obedience, and to teach them that there's such a thing as having daily prayer and reading the Scriptures at home. You see, this will honor God and to honor God in all their ways. This begins, let me suggest to this begins in the high chair. This doesn't begin when they grow up to be 6 or 7 years old. This begins in the high chair. Let me suggest to you, because we know we've raised 4 children, all of them now, 3 of them are married, and we know how important that the reading of the Scripture is when they're in the high chair. No, you don't read them chapters of the Bible, but you read them certain portions of the Scripture so that they know when you open this book, they have to learn to be quiet. Why? Because you're giving honor and due honor to this Word. It is the Word of God. And that's why you really give them the importance of what the Word of God means to that child. And when you do, I'll guarantee you one thing. As you open the Bible, when they get a bit older, they respect the Word of God. You see, this may be old-fashioned, but I can tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I know without any question, this is what God wants for every family. Let me just again look at Acts 18, let's begin to look. After these things, Paul departed from Athens. Now, Acts 17 talks about Athens and Paul's message to the people in Mars Hill, and how that they just certainly turned away from his message. There was hardly any response, and so he came to Corinth. Corinth was a city that was a very licentious city, near a seaport called Caesarea. That's where this word regarding Caesarea was, where Paul had spoken of Phoebe. She had simply had come from there, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, or born and lately come from Italy, whose wife was Priscilla, because that Claudius, that's Claudius Caesar, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So the things haven't changed too much, have they, from communism and from Nazism and every other ism to persecute the children of Israel. Here is Claudius Caesar, the way back in the first century, has done the same thing. He sent them all out of Rome, and because he was of the same craft, that is Paul, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks and so on. So here, these people came originally from the city of Pontus, which was inland from Italy, far over in the eastern province, beyond the wild hills of Galatia. They lived in the city and they had now moved over into Corinth. And they were expelled, as we have already read, but they were humble people. But to these people, the Apostle Paul came and lived for some time. Were they Christians? We do not know for absolute positive. But we know one thing, that is that Paul was welcomed in their home. They didn't have much of a home. Very unlikely, because they came from a poor background area. Let me just throw this out for a real practical application of this. Really, how often do you have, speaking to the Lord's people now particularly, do you have saints or Christians in your home? How often have you really had a servant of the Lord at your table? What was the last time that you had? Let me throw something out for young couples particular, and those who have anticipation of this. I do not believe there's anything that's so important to introduce children to the Lord's servants and to the Lord's people. I believe this is very important. Our children hold the Lord's servants in the highest esteem today, because we welcomed them. And look, we had very little when we began it. You know, our kitchen cupboards were orange crates, when oranges used to come in crates. Our kitchen table was a card table. We had next to nothing, but we entertained the Lord's people. Why? Because we saw from the Word of God in our early Christian life the benefits of it. Oh, beloved saints of God, let me share this with you this morning from my heart. You see, this is what these people did, Aquila and Priscilla. You know, they were the same craft. Of course, in these days, Paul, being a well-educated man, he had a trade. And I think it would be a good thing if we ever incorporated that idea again. You see, I'm sure that these people, if they were real believers, would grow in grace, as the Apostle Paul unveiled the Scripture to them. And I believe as we look at this, it's important for the foundation of our lives should be laid in understanding the Word of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul went about to do with Priscilla and Aquila. Now just glance your eye down to the 18th verse of this chapter, and you get another look at them. The second mention of Aquila and Priscilla is in the 18th. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. Now, in Corinth, he was there approximately, other scriptures tell us, about 18 months. And so, it says he sailed thence into Syria, and with him Aquila and Priscilla came along. And so, it says, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow there. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, that is, left Aquila and Priscilla there. And he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I'll return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And so now the time was come for him to leave Corinth. And his stay had extended these approximately 18 months. And many were saved, and the church was formed at Corinth at this time. And they were part of this. And during these months, Aquila and his wife had learned much about the things of God from this man. 18 months living in their home. You can imagine, your imagination doesn't have to be too great to think as they opened the Word of God together and the Apostle Paul began to unfold the scriptures to them, how that their hearts have been greatly attached to the servant of the Lord whose ministry had meant so much to them. They determined to join him in his journey over into Asia Minor, that is. What led them to this decision? Well, it could have been their desire to be in Paul's company or have some hope of the service of the Lord in a further field. It could be likely that. They were no longer tent makers now. I like this. Oh yes, they made tents. But they were no longer named as tent makers who believed in Christ. You know what they were? They were servants of the Lord making tents to pay expenses. There's a vast difference in the two things. They were no longer just tent makers, but now, as they worked in their tent making, they were only doing this to pay expenses so that they could serve the Lord in the sphere to which God had called them. You see, that was why I believe they left and went with the Apostle Paul. They saw tent making as only a means whereby they might really serve the Lord. And look, if we could get a sight of our work in that area. You know, there was a great missionary, and he was, before he was a missionary, he was a cobbler. Now, I don't know if you know what a cobbler is, but he's a shoemaker in England. He's a cobbler. And so one morning a man came into him and he said to him, you must get tired of cobbling shoes all the time and making people's shoes. And he smiled and he said, I'm not a cobbler making shoes. And the guy was puzzled, but he said, man, you are a cobbler. You're making shoes now. Because they made the shoes from the very from right start in those days. And the man smiled and he said, look, I'm only cobbling shoes to pay expenses. I'm serving the Lord, sir. I'm really serving the Lord. Is that the way you look at your job, beloved saint of God? Is it? If it isn't, you know, you've missed the point. You've missed it. You see, I want you to know for the next moment or two, glance your eye just down to the same chapter in the third mention of Priscilla and Aquila's mention. And it says, verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down into Antioch, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. This is the Apostle Paul. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, he was mighty in the Old Testament. The New Testament, remember, now wasn't written yet. That is down in pen and ink, as it were, or on script. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but notice, only knowing the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them into their own home, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Isn't that interesting? So you see, Paul had departed, and now he went out to visit the saints in various places, and his two friends remained in Ephesus, where they were to find, where we find them. While they're an eloquent man, a man who really understood the Old Testament, he was an excellent Bible teacher, a student, but knowing only the baptism of John the Baptist. He hadn't entered into the truth of Christ. I want you to notice particularly, please, with me, he didn't rebuke him for his ignorance. They were very considerate. They no doubt were impressed with his gift and knowledge of the Scripture, but thought how he might further serve the Lord, and he led them into the truths of Christianity, of Christ. In fact, I doubt if they did anything to discourage him. I think they did everything to encourage him. They not only took them into their home, they took them into their hearts. Oh, how important that is. But also it seems as well, we see how for the second time they had a devoted servant of the Lord in their home. Yes, they were doing the teaching in this case. And I want you to note something with me, please, beloved saints of God. There wasn't one instance where Aquila and Priscilla taught the Scripture publicly. Isn't that interesting? Not one instance. It was in a private, one-to-one level of reaching people. Oh, what a lesson we have here. You see, their new friend Apollos, remember, they were not rich, as we have suggested. But they had a great heart. And you see, God doesn't look on what kind of home I have, but rather, how am I going to use it for him? You see, it was worth it all because isn't it interesting, although these people were very humble, very hospitable, and this man was mighty in the Scripture, yet he was a learner. We can learn a few things from Apollos, can't we? But he was a learner, and they became his teacher. Yes, he greatly helped the believers and convinced them that his Jewish brethren, that Jesus was the Christ. Now notice further down the Scripture in this, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, we have read that, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote concerning Apollos, brother wrote concerning the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which believed through grace. So you can see how well grounded now Apollos had become by these humble young couple. Well, you see, Who can estimate the value of Aquila and Priscilla? Can you? I can't. Who can estimate the what they did for that man? Although mighty in the Scripture was a learner, oh God, I pray this morning to teach us all, every one of us, to become learners. What is that? Disciples. That's what a disciple really is, a learner. One who can learn. Look, I can learn just as much from a babe in Christ many times as I can possibly from others who are much older in Christ. God help me as a servant of the Lord to listen. To listen. To people who are even younger than I am, relating the things of God and the things of Christ. I wonder how many young people and others, too, who, although may not be Apollos's, really can be greatly encouraged in the things of God in your home. I ask that question. Further this morning, I want you to look at the fourth mention of Priscilla and Aquila. And now we turn back to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, and this couple, as we look into this chapter, what we learn here surely increases our esteem for them. It seems that in some period of their history, possibly in Corinth, more likely in Ephesus, they had laid down their necks for the apostle. That's what it says in verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their necks. A statement of this kind is what we might expect in a chapter. Really, as we look at this chapter, do you know what it reminds me? It reminds me of the judgment seat of Christ. You know why? Eponidas, who knows that man? Who was the first fruits of Achaia? Mary, who labored much for us. You see, the Lord was looking down and he was seeing these individuals, although inconspicuous to the Scriptures insofar as their detailed life is concerned, the Lord puts his finger and says of Mary, she labored. My, what a full word that is. She labored much. You see, this tells me a great deal about what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be like. What a phrase, laid down their necks for the Apostle Paul. What love, what real love is conveyed. What faith too is pictured and expressed here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, but the Lord Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. And that's why we read how that we as saints of God in 1 John chapter 3 ought to lay down our lives for one another. That's love. Not in word, but in deed. That's love. It's not a matter any longer. You see, this can not only be really displayed in the first century, but I believe also today. Is there no other way of laying down our lives than by either by a guillotine or by some other method? Yes. I think Epaphroditus is a picture of a man who laid down his life. How? He gave his time. He intensified his time. He said, my time is for the Lord and for his people. My time is really not my own. I'm no longer my own. I am the Lord's. And so therefore my time is under his control. our substance, whether it's a meal or whether, no matter what it may be, or our interest and care and encouragement for the Lord's people, oh, that we might see, oh, there's so many really real ways of really laying down our necks, as it were, really being exhausted for Christ. I want to ask a question to you in my heart this morning. No wonder the Apostle Paul made that statement. Notice in verse 4, the latter part of it, I give thanks. Oh, I give thanks. I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks for this man. Why? For this young couple, why? I want to ask a question in this connection. How could all the churches give thanks? Well, just think for a moment what Priscilla and Aquila have done for the Apostle Paul. And just think of what the Apostle Paul has done throughout the whole history of the New Testament for the church. And behind the scene was a couple who contributed to no end to the Apostle Paul's ministry. Oh, they were helpers in Christ. You want to know what your gift is? Here's a gift that there isn't one person in this local gathering, not one who's a believer in Christ, that can't have this gift. The gift of a helper in Christ. Not one. And I want to ask a question, what greater gift could be in relation to Priscilla and Aquila as they helped the Apostle Paul in his ministry, and the Apollos, that man of God, mighty in Scripture? Oh, we're not told how, but likely they had many opportunities. We don't told how altogether, the details. In some way, there isn't any question. There isn't one here that couldn't be a helper. I want you to notice something else that's very interesting in this portion of the Scripture. Notice verse 5. Likewise, greet the church which was in their house. Oh, they had a very humble home, I'm sure. But they used what God had given them to be used for the Master's use. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they didn't have many chairs. Maybe they all sat on the floor. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have much to offer. Maybe it was just not a cup of tea. Maybe it was like sometimes I do. I ask the saints for a cup of hot water and put a little milk in it, and I call it white rose tea. You see, that's what they offered. Look, beloved children of God, this morning, this is practical. This is everyday. This is where we're at. This is where we live. You see, this was for the Master, the Lord Jesus. Well, let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's the fifth mention of them, 1 Corinthians 16, and let's look at verse 17. I am glad of coming of the Stephanas and of Fortunatus and of Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. Isn't it? Oh, don't miss these names. Don't slip by in the reading of these scriptures. Have a look at what it says of these people. So, not much, but oh, so full. Notice, it says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Oh, I wonder, I want to ask you a question. Just let me pause here for a minute. You'll pardon me for just a moment pausing here. Just simply say, look, is that your ministry that you refresh people? I remember a dear sister of mine, an older woman when I was a young believer in Christ. When I'd sit silently at the Lord's table some mornings, she'd come up and put her arm around me. I still can remember it so vividly. Put her arm around my shoulder and say, Ray, didn't hear you this morning. Didn't hear you. I miss that. You refresh me. Beloved saints of God, you don't know what that meant to me as a young man. Is that the spirit that you have, beloved child of God? Do you have that spirit of being able to simply encourage and refresh people? Oh God, implant in my heart, yours this morning, to see these people, you refresh me, says. Now notice, for they often, they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them as such. Now notice verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Priscilla and Aquila salute you much, much in the Lord. With the church that's in their house. Again, it's mentioned. Yes, they would remember much affection. Remember now they're in Rome. Remember now, they must remember how that the dear brethren at Corinth, whom they had loved for so many months, 18 months, there was the undertone of warmth and Christian love in the word much. They notice it says in that 19th verse, they salute you much in the Lord. Oh, the people of God, the warmth and affection we send out, you know, let me say this, if you think that you're going to get it in response, then you're going to be disappointed. Oh, I'm not saying it shouldn't come back in response. But if you look for it in response, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be frustrated if you're going to look for it. There isn't one scripture that you're to look for love for me. Do you know that? You're to love me irrespective of what? Not because I'm lovely, and I'm not, but because God says you're to love. Oh, the lessons we learn. You see a grip of the hand, a loving word of encouragement, a letter of cheer sometimes, a little card sent in the mail to one of your brethren or sisters. Those who truly love the Lord will be eager to seize these opportunities. Oh, it doesn't take much. It's the little things that he sees. Yes. Time has gone. There's a sixth mention. I won't take time. I'll look at it next Sunday morning as we go down the chapter further. The sixth mention is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but we'll just leave that because 60 years lapses between this in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Timothy 4. There's 16 years lapses between the time that this happens, and the Apostle Paul is soon going to lay down his neck for Christ's sake. He's going to be soon martyred for Christ on Nero's block. And who does he Who does he greet? I will see next Sunday morning. I hope you've been entered into some of this portion of the Scripture. I think that this matter of Romans 16 is so vital and important because it gets us looks into people's lives in such a way. It gets us to look into what God looks at, not man, what God is looking at. I hope it's blessed your soul this morning in a real way. Shall we pray? Father, what shall we say? After we have done all these things, said the Lord Jesus, ye are unprofitable servants. How true that is. After we've done all, what are we? Only what the grace of God has done. That's all. Only what God by His Spirit touches our lives and our hearts. Father, we pray that these lessons of Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, whichever the case may be, may indelibly be written on the table of our hearts. We ask of Thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.